WBZ H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A partial verdict has been decided in Sean Combs' trial, but the jury cannot agree on the racketeering charge, so they'll be back at it this morning. ABC's Aaron Katursky with more.
The eight-man, four-woman jury reached a verdict on two counts of sex trafficking and two counts of transportation for the purposes of prostitution. But on racketeering conspiracy, the jury wrote in a note, "We have jurors with unpersuadable opinions on both sides." Combs looked shaken, slumped in his seat, wiping his eyes as his lawyers stood around him, his children rushing back to court.
The suspect in the Idaho college student murders will be in court today, where he is expected to change his plea to guilty. Brian Koberger expected to receive four consecutive life sentences with no chance of parole. 2,000 flight cancellations on Tuesday because of the weather, most of them in and out of New York and Washington. Some of those affected by the airline troubles, members of Congress who have been called back, the House anyway, to the Capitol to vote on the budget bill. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Patrol is asking residents to participate in a nationwide contest to choose the best-looking cruiser. The contest is organized by the American Association of State Troopers, and the top 13 vote-getters will be featured in the organization's 2026 wall calendar. The Wisconsin State Patrol's entry this year features a cruiser parked in front of the last coal-fired steamship in the country, which is also a designated historical landmark. Voting for the best-looking cruiser contest can be completed online and will be open until 5 p.m. on July 11th. Wisconsin's Natural Resources Board has approved new white-tailed deer hunting rules for the 2025-2026 seasons. The new rules were agreed upon after receiving input from individual county deer advisory councils, residents, and the Department of Natural Resources. The Natural Resources Board approved a statewide kill quota of over 291,000 antlerless deer, a 7% increase over the last hunting season. The board also approved holiday gun hunt and extended bow seasons in three additional counties this year. Transportation officials are warning Barron and Chippewa County residents of an overnight closure for bridge work on southbound Highway 53 tonight. The closure will occur between Highway I near Chetek and Highway M near New Auburn beginning at 8 p.m. on Wednesday and ending at 6 a.m. on Thursday. Traffic will be detoured to Highway I, Highway SS, and Highway M before linking back up with Highway 53. Construction work on Highway 53 began in May and is currently scheduled to wrap up for the season in mid-November before resuming in the spring. A Hayward man was sentenced to prison for bankruptcy fraud and criminal contempt of court last week. 74-year-old Bernard Seidling was sentenced to 7 years in prison and ordered to pay a $500,000 fine following a four-day federal trial. He was accused of filing for bankruptcy in 2022 while hiding around $20 million in assets and $1 million in cash that he had stashed in a crawl space under his house. Seidling had reported just one bank account with a balance of less than $200 in the original bankruptcy filing. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The crew in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Mets in a doubleheader today after being rained out last night in Queens. The Brewers coming off a 4-3 loss in extra innings to the last place Rockies on Sunday. Pat Murphy.
You know, things have been going our way a bunch. We haven't had games like this in a while, so it's a good reminder that you can lose these games.
Basketball, the number one topic in NBA free agency. So far, the Bucks waiving Damian Lillard.
Over $110 million over the next couple years. That means the Bucks are going to have $20 million on their books for the next 5 years. That is a lot of dead money, but that shows these level of pressure that this Milwaukee Bucks team is under to go out and get a guy, Miles Turner, who can help them right now. Now, the Bucks still have a lot of things to sort out. They still need point guard help. Kevin Porter Jr. is not really an ideal long-term option as a starting point guard. You'd like to get another fix there, but this does give the Bucks some additional flexibility to go out and make more moves to add to this roster because they did lop off a whole bunch of money from their books.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm today into this evening. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll get to around 83 for a high today. Tonight, down to 59. Tomorrow, sunshine, 85 with another chance of scattered showers tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the interview system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators get a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
Join us this Wednesday for a special early July 4th episode, digging deep on today's attacks on our freedoms. Defending civil rights isn't optional. It's our shared obligation. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning, 8:06 on this Wednesday morning, July 2nd, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson over in Madison Studio A2. Earl Ingram is standing by. We'll have Melissa Baldoff a little later this hour with Climate Check. All about keeping the cows comfy and cool while still having solar farms going up around Wisconsin. We'll tell you how they can actually accomplish both things. Brittany Merlot is off today, so keep an eye, or keep an ear, I guess I should say, on your local civic media station for your local forecast as we head through the end of the week. We will have a regular show tomorrow, and then on Friday we'll have a best of show. And we didn't get to hear from Melissa Kay today, but if you have not caught up with Pigeon Quest with Melissa Kay, you're going to want to listen to Friday's show as we recap what has brought us to the point of her almost having possession of a rescue pigeon that she wants to adopt. From the text line, Jim in Brookfield, another good guest, Pat, referring to our conversation on the transgender policy for the WIAA. Jim writes, "It's always amazing what can be learned when people actually do some research and learn the facts, as opposed to making blind assumptions based on a knee-jerk executive order." Conversely, on the text line, Tom from Hartford says, "Sadly, the longer the left hangs on to this, the longer the left will lose close elections. Regular people will never warm up to this. Please see reality." Tom, I love that you're a listener, but here's your lecture. You please see reality and stop referring to yourself as a regular person. There are plenty of regular people out here that don't look like you, don't love the same people as you, and also don't get on their high horse about who's regular and who's not. Some people are willing to lose elections to stand up for what's right. The Pledge of Allegiance ends with liberty and justice for all, not just for the regular people. All right, let's bring in Earl Ingram, and we're going to start, unfortunately, on a bit of a down note on things happening in the Milwaukee area with the shooting death of a Milwaukee police officer, and just the blow that that deals to a community anytime, but this officer and these circumstances as well. Earl, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm fine, but again, we have not had a chance to talk about this case yet. I'm glad you're here for this so that we can properly convey, you know, what happened in this case. And sadly, this is something that has become all too familiar as we, you know, continue to allow guns to run rampant on our streets. Can you give folks around the state just kind of an overview of what happened the other day?
Well, you know, a much beloved officer, Mr. Kendall, Officer Kendall Corder, and Christopher McCray, two young officers who have dedicated their lives to service in the city of Milwaukee, and very well loved and known in the community, a young man who grew up in the city of Milwaukee and then made the decision to join the force and do great work. A lot of great work in, you know, building bridges. And so when I say much beloved officers, they were every bit of that. And so they worked with a lot of young children, and certainly when people saw them, they were much beloved. I know when I was a young man, we used to know the officers who were in our community as they were a part of the fabric of the community. These young men recreated that in their stint with the Milwaukee Police Department. And, you know, a wayward young man, Tremaine Jones, 22 years old, got into a situation where he and his girlfriend, he was unfaithful. And this just goes to show the insanity that goes on in this nation and the impact of having so easily accessibility to guns. Tremaine Jones apparently was unfaithful to his girlfriend, and, you know, and she called, you know, some people that she knew to basically go after her boyfriend for being unfaithful. He brings a gun. The guy that she calls brings a gun, and they begin to shoot it out. You know, I mean, the Wild Wild West, OK Corral, all of that insanity that happens, unfortunately, too often in this country. And that situation escalated. And so the police were called, as what happens normally in a situation like that. And they come and they, you know, we're talking about dark. They can't see. They don't know what's going on. And, you know, people point to, they ask them about where the shots came from, and they point to the alley. And Tremaine Jones, a 22-year-old with a, you know, criminal record, is hiding in the bushes. He had fired his weapon at the other guy. And he claims, again, Tremaine Jones, that he heard them coming through the alley. He thought it was the guy he had shot at who had shot at him. And he, you know, shot 16 times at these officers. And, you know, with a high-powered weapon that nobody should have on the street. And unfortunately took the life of, you know, this officer, Kendall Corder. And I'll tell you, man, I've lived through a lot of these things, but our community is taking this harder than I think I ever recall them taking a law enforcement officer losing his life.
No, because again, when we look at every other developed nation on earth, you know what? They have infidelity. They have love triangles. They have domestic disputes. What they don't have is such ready access that somebody feels like it's a good idea to wave at or even shoot guns at, you know, at an ex-girlfriend, at somebody that's trying to have a disagreement with you, and get into this situation where, you know, you think you're firing at somebody as if that's okay, but it actually turns out to be these officers instead. And again, the only foundation there is the guns and the prevalence of them. Everything else exists everywhere else in society. So let's not be blaming society. Let's blame that culture of people everywhere who just can't see that the resolution of this problem is to give up this worship of firearms.
Well, you're talking to a guy who is 70 years old, who, well, actually 71, who had never had a gun in his hand until about a year and a half ago that I went through the FBI training, you know, program. I was asked if I would want to do that, and for the first time in my life, I had a weapon in my hand. I would have never probably ever had one, and it went to my grave. My father never had weapons in the house, so I've never had them. My children have never had them, and my nieces and nephews likewise. I'm not opposed to guns. People have a right to guns. But what I am opposed to are laws like those that gun show loophole where people can sell guns to people like Tremaine Jones and not be held accountable. You know, if you're going to buy a gun from a licensed dealer, there's background checks and 48-hour waiting periods, but you can then take that gun and sell that gun to anybody you want to without any background. And that's how so many guns get into the hands of people like Tremaine Jones. That's what I'm opposed to. That legislation needs to change. And the easy accessibility to guns to even 14-year-old children in the community where I live, is that at some point in time, it's got to come to an end.
And when you talked about the number of shots that were fired, it brings up the prevalence of extended magazines that carry so many more bullets, and extended magazine was among the, you know, weaponry and accessories that were recovered from Jones and from others at the scene here. So, I mean, the evidence is clear of what it is that allowed this situation to get out of hand. So when this does, and you have, like you said, an officer who was so well regarded and is, you know, killed in the line of duty, where does a community go from there? You obviously, you have the funeral, you have the remembrance, and what can we do to just not let it fade away and forget until this happens again?
Well, that's the horrible thing about it. It will fade away. It will be forgotten until the next time. You know, it doesn't happen as often as it used to. But, you know, even one time is too much pain for a community that's already in pain to have to deal with, especially with the holiday coming up.
Yeah, especially with any holiday coming up and a long weekend for this family, for this officer. We're talking to Earl Ingram about stories that he's following in Southeast Wisconsin. Got 3 minutes here until the break, and so let's change gears. Let's get just a little lighter here and talk about your thoughts on all the roster moves by the Milwaukee Bucks. And then we're going to take a break. Some of you folks will have a local update. Others will come back here and we'll talk about Attorney General Josh Call suing the Department of Education about, you know, the impact on mental health for our youth. That'll be after the break. But before we go to that break, again, lots of moves by the Milwaukee Bucks. What were your thoughts on that, Earl?
Well, you're talking to a guy who remembers when the Bucks first came to Milwaukee, and it really, nothing ever surprises me with the Bucks and the Bucks management. They are fearless. They don't ever stay pat. And I will tell you, the release of Damian Lillard and swallowing that $112 million is a sign of just how aggressive the Milwaukee Bucks are. It opens the door. The addition of Miles Turner, a great center. I mean, to replace Brook Lopez, who wasn't mobile, with Miles Turner, who's also a great outside shooter, but a lot more mobile, is going to open the door for Giannis to do a lot more things. The re-signing of Gary Trent and Porter and others pencils the Bucks in now as somebody to be reckoned with in the coming season. A lot more athletic, a lot younger, and it's amazing what they've been able to do. They were just locked in with somebody with no draft choices, mm-hmm, and basically no future. The Bucks do a wonderful, wonderful job.
Yeah, they do. I mean, again, there were plenty of folks after this last first-round elimination were willing to say, well, that's it. You know, the full rebuilding is going to start. But, you know, rebuilding doesn't mean you tear the whole thing down. Let's consider this a really good remodel that's in the works here. So we've got Earl Ingram here that we're talking with. We'll continue that for some of you. Others will get a local update. And when we're all back together in about 15 minutes or so, we will talk to Melissa Baldoff with our climate check for this week. And later, James Kelly will talk about some of the stories he's covering for Civic Media across Northwest Wisconsin. This, of course, is all followed by Matt and Air on Air, coming up with Dan Schaefer at 9:30, and then just after 10 o'clock, Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And then Todd Alba's on from 2 to 4 today, and you can join me there, along with Trig Vielsen from the Lincoln Project, joining Todd Alba at just after 2 o'clock this afternoon here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Doubleheader baseball today with the Milwaukee Brewers after being rained out last night. They are in New York to take on the Mets. So last night's game has been rescheduled as a day game today. Pregame begins at 11:35 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Freddie Peralta pitching for the Brewers in Game 1. Game 2, the regularly scheduled game, pregame at 5:35 this evening with Jacob Mizorowski on the mound pitching against the Mets for the Milwaukee Brewers. Two doses of Brewers baseball today here on Civic Media. Also coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon from 4 to 6, a special, Freedoms Under Attack, with David Velker, a UW Green Bay professor of humanities and history, Howard Schweber, a UW professor of American politics and political theory, and Kathy Kramer, a UW professor and chair of letters and science in American politics. And then Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8 tonight at 6:30, Milwaukee film critic Matt Mueller, and 7:35 tonight, director Wendy Schneider, all joining Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Let's continue on things with Earl Ingram now and talk about some of the things he's watching in Southeast Wisconsin, which I know Earl also includes some of the work being done primarily in, some of the work that's being done by Attorney General Josh Call in terms of the restrictions by Donald Trump. And Earl, I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted here because I'm just seeing the breaking news that a split state Supreme Court today has just ruled and invalidated an 1849 law that had been interpreted as banning all abortions. It was a 4-3 ruling. So writing for the liberal majority, Justice Rebecca Dallet found that changes made to abortion laws over the past 50 years implicitly repealed the 1849 law. This is according to a bulletin put out by WisPolitics. Dallet writes, "We conclude that comprehensive legislation enacted over the last 50 years, regulating in detail the who, what, where, when, and how of abortion, so thoroughly covers the entire subject of abortion that it was meant as a substitute for a 19th century near-total ban." The conservative justices, Rebecca Bradley, Brian Hagedorn, and Annette Ziegler, all dissented. More will be coming about that later. Obviously, Earl, you and I both know that that 1849 law has been watched by a lot of folks and has now been thrown out by the state Supreme Court. That's going to get a lot of people talking.
You know, it's some things that's just nauseating to me. And, you know, this constant conversation about what the forefathers thought and what they believed is always open to interpretation. They're not here anymore. And so the last time I checked, they're not here anymore. And
yeah.
And so, you know, it's always going to be open to conjecture on both sides. And in your and my lifetime that this is ever settled. And so it's going to continue to be an ongoing conversation, Pat. Sometimes the left is going to win. Sometimes the right is going to win. And that, well, really, to be honest with you, I don't know whoever wins in this kind of conversation, because I'm a person who believes that people have a right in a nation that professes to be a nation that gives people freedoms. To make decisions, even though those decisions might not agree with us. But in the end, Pat, what is the nation and what it was founded under if people don't have freedoms and the rights that, you know, people fought, bled, and died for?
Exactly. So we'll have much more on the Wisconsin Supreme Court throwing out that 1849 statute throughout the day, of course, here on Civic Media. But getting back to what I was saying before, I noticed the breaking news here, and that is Attorney General Josh Call suing the Department of Education for the Trump administration. And in this case, Earl, it deals with, you say, the mental health care that can be provided. Oh, it looks like we lost Earl there.
Well,
there you go. Go ahead, Earl. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was, you know, I thought he was having some problems on our end, but I guess what I wanted to talk about a little bit was, as you stated earlier, the decision of Josh Call to join others from across the state, across the nation, in, you know, suing this Trump government for taking away, just $5 billion or more that's been kind of allocated after some horrific shootings in schools since, 2022 or so, to deal with mental health and mental illness of young people across this country. And if you look at the reason and the rationale why, the Federal Department of Education took issue with some of the training that was being taught in the mental health professionals about systemic racism and the focus of race-related stress that occurs in, you know, some communities across this nation. So because of that and that part of the training, even though the training is much broader than just that issue, that's reason enough to take those funds away from people and children and families across this entire nation, $5 billion,
mm-hmm.
To deal with mental health issues. And if ever there was a time, Pat, that our nation is struggling with mental health issues with young people, it's now with the internet and all of those things. They don't take any of those things into consideration. They just move unilaterally. To eliminate things based on diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah, and it's a particularly ugly chapter that I think we're going to look back on, this attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Earl Ingram, as always, I really appreciate the visit, appreciate your insight. Hope you have a good family-friendly 4th of July weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You as well.
All right. Thank you, Earl. When we come back, we're going to have Melissa Baldoff here. We will, of course, talk about climate issues, but also in her her role, she's got a political hat that she wears much of the time, and we'll ask her about this state Supreme Court decision throwing out the 1849 law. Coming up next, you're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Realtors Association released its monthly report for May, showing a drop in home sales and increase in home prices from the same time last year. According to the report, home sales through the first 5 months of 2025 fell by 2.7% compared to the same period last year. The median home price also rose by nearly 7% to $315,000. While the number of existing homes for sale dropped by about 1.5%, the total number of listings rose by 8.5% with over 22,000 homes on the market. Governor Tony Evers and the Republican-controlled state legislature have tentatively agreed to a number of key provisions for the next biennial budget. The agreement includes a $1.3 billion income tax cut targeting the middle class, an over $250 million increase in funding for the universities of Wisconsin, a $500 million funding increase for K-12 special education programs, and $200 million for transportation projects. It also notably includes $330 million for child care programs. Nurses and advanced practice providers at Ascentia Health and Aspirus facilities in Superior and Duluth are set to go on strike starting next week. Nurses at a number of area hospitals, including St. Mary's and St. Luke's, will officially begin their strike on July 8th. Advanced practice providers at Ascentia Health will begin their strike 2 days later on July 10th. Organizers say the strikes are based on unfair labor practices, including chronic understaffing and the failure of the healthcare organizations to take their input on patient care needs into consideration. The developers of a solar energy production project in Polk County say the facility is set to begin operating this year. National Grid Renewables broke ground on the Apple River Solar Project last November. Officials say the 100-megawatt facility will be able to power about 26,000 homes and offset nearly 130,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide emissions. They also expect the facility to provide about $36 million in direct economic impact and $10 million in new tax revenue in the region over the next 20 years. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's been lots of royal family drama over the last few years, which eventually culminated in a formal estrangement for the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, also known as Harry and Meghan, which sounds a lot less sexy. Head of the not-really-necessary royal outfit, King Charles has made it known that he's going to buck tradition and wants the Sussexes to be front and center at his eventual funeral when the time comes. The New York Post reports that Charles has made it clear he would like his son Harry to walk side by side with his brother William, who will then be king. Charles has also stated that he would like Harry and Meghan and their children, Archie and Lilibet, good lord, they actually want people to dislike them, to take part in the lying in state and candlelight vigil portion of the funeral. There has been no comment yet from the Sussexes. I'm not being lazy, the Duchess and Duke are actually referred to by the county name. As the Squire of Marinette, Wisconsin, I can confirm this. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm today into this evening. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll get to around 83 for a high today. Tonight, down to 59. Tomorrow, sunshine, 85 with another chance of scattered showers tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin state budget, good, bad, what's going on with that? Dan Schaefer will join us to talk about that. Darren Von Ruden and Wisconsin farmers in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
I am very thankful that Melissa Baldoff is willing to come in here once a week and talk about climate issues. It's a subject near and dear to her heart, but she wears many hats as a consultant, as a political strategist, and more. And so we're probably going to spend more time in this segment on a couple of other matters, and then we'll get to a little bit of our climate check and the happy cows that can result from a little bit of creativity when it comes to solar farms that are out there. But Melissa is going to help us first deal with the new budget deal right after we talk about the breaking news of the state Supreme Court throwing out the 1849 law that some had considered to be an abortion ban. Melissa, good morning. What's your take on the state Supreme Court throwing that 1849 law out, kicking it to the curb?
Good morning. It is a good morning. And, you know, this is exactly what, you know, I think so many people wanted to see happen, was a fair and impartial court invalidating a law that, you know, is almost 200 years old and really impacted the rights of women to make our own healthcare decisions. So this is, you know, this is a law that predates us even, you know, just knowing about germs, right? I mean, this is ridiculous that this has been on the books for so long. And it is just an incredible win for the people of this state to have women's rights and freedoms restored by this court.
Well, and on top of that, for all this talk about, you know, originalism and what founders intended and all that, you know, why would we take away from the notion that we have had continuously changing government, continuously changing society for these past 150, 200 years? And what the progressive justices were saying was, look, there have been all of these other changes to abortion law over the years, so many different changes that it basically can't help but overrule the stuff that was written earlier. Because again, elections have consequences. You have different people in charge each time. They've made these changes of law. Looking at this, and I've skimmed it as quickly as I could, and I have to say, this AI summary that Tony has helped put together and shared with us is, I think, pretty good. It says, the court erased the state's near-total criminal abortion ban as a matter of statutory construction, not constitutional law. Abortions may resume within the detailed and sometimes onerous regulatory framework enacted since the 1970s. They note that the legislature retains full authority to tighten or loosen that framework, and the ruling invites renewed legislative deliberation rather than ending the debate. And again, Melissa, it's just a matter of, you know, again, we, with all the respect you can have for your founders, they don't get to tie our hands. We still get to live in the here and now, whether you're talking about muskets versus assault weapons or women's role in society and the rights they have now versus then.
Exactly. You know, this is one of those perfect illustrations of why the, you know, Constitution is a living document. It was always intended to adapt and change with the times, and the framers could ever have conceived of the society we have now. I think if you took, you know, the framers and dropped them in today's society, you know, their heads might explode when they saw, you know, all of the technology we have and where we've come, you know. And that's just the whole point, is that it was always intended to be a document that was changed, was adapted. The only thing that isn't supposed to change is, you know, the core principles and beliefs of, you know, life, liberty, and justice for all. That's the foundation, not you know, any other specific prescriptive words necessarily, because those can change and should change and have changed. And the abortion law here is, you know, a great example. It's, you know, kind of like the, you know, ship of Theseus, right? And that's, I think, where we've gotten with this, the end of this case, right? Is like where it started, it's changed so much. Is it even that thing that it started as anymore? And it's really not, you know, it's changed so many times what the, you know, what the law is on abortion and what the ruling is. So, you know, I think that this is a great day for women, you know, to make their own healthcare decisions again, even though we know that there are limits there, but, you know, protect things like IVF, which would have been completely at risk here, and make sure that, you know, women and families have the right to make their own decisions about what's best for them.
Yeah. Folks that want to start their own theocracy can do it, you know, someplace else, because right here, every election matters. And yes, we live in a time where the next election is always the most important election. The one that switched control of this state Supreme Court was the most important election of its time. Prior to that, the re-election of Governor Tony Evers was the most important election of its time, which takes us to our next subject, the new state budget deal. Governor Evers worked it out with Republicans who control the legislature. It will be a very bipartisan vote later today in the Assembly and the Senate, with Democrats voting yes and no, Republicans voting yes and no, and people having very strong feelings on depending on what end of the spectrum they're coming from. And I'm not saying all that to say that this is a good deal, Melissa, but again, if Tony Evers had not won election, you know, the way this would look under a Governor Tim Michels administration is a hell of a lot different.
It absolutely is. And, you know, this isn't the budget that the governor wanted. The budget the governor wanted is the one he proposed. But this is, I think, this is a very good deal considering what the alternative was. And this, I think, shows the incredible commitment of the governor and his staff. I want to make sure to really shout out my former colleagues in the governor's office and throughout state government for their work on this, because yes, it is the leaders and the principals, you know, making a lot of these deals, but it's also an incredible, incredible amount of work by the staff to get there. And their commitment to this is just unparalleled. But I applaud the governor and our Democratic leader getting there, because this is, I do believe, the best deal we could get out of this legislature. But at the same time, I respect and value and support the Democrats who are going to vote against this, because it's not what we deserve, and it's not the best budget for the state. It's the best budget we could get right now. But it's the best budget but it's not the best budget for the state. So, you know, I think that they are correct to, you know, hold the line for themselves and for their constituents, and to draw the contrast of, you know, what is going to be in the state budget and what could be and should be in the state budget. And they'll really have a chance to demonstrate that when Democrats are in the majority in, you know, a couple years here with the budget. That's the goal. That's what we think is going to happen. Democrats taking back the Senate and an incredibly good chance to take back the Assembly. And the budget that will pass in 2 years because of that is going to look a whole lot different than this one. And it's going to be a whole lot better for the people of this state. So I think this was, you know, the right choice, even though it's a very difficult one. But Governor Evers has proven time and time again that he is willing to make the difficult choices that need to happen.
We're talking to Melissa Baldoff, and we've covered the legislative matters, the court matters. Now let's get to something that really matters: happy cows. And
I've got to just say, I still take a lot of issue with the whole marketing campaign of happy cows come from California.
Oh yeah,
from years past. Bull. I mean, it's
that's
just
bull offensive. Pun intended, by the way. So yeah, that's, we know where the happy cows are, and
that's right,
and they're up here. The story actually comes out of Morris, Minnesota, University of Minnesota campus out there. But for all of the caterwauling about solar farms that says, well, it, the crops won't be able to grow now and cattle won't be able to graze now, I was always a little dubious of that because, like anything else, you pick your shot. You use what is best for the land if you can. But if you can use a little creativity, then so much the better. And the story out of Minnesota is all about how a solar array, a whole bunch of solar panels, are put on top of basically an electric-powered vehicle, a tractor, truck, whatever the case may be, that slowly moves along the field so that the cows can graze in the shade underneath the panels. I don't know if I have a particular climate question here. I'm just here to salute good old American ingenuity for getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah, this is such a cool story. I loved when you sent me this. I mean, talk about innovation. And like you said, using what you have. So this is, I think, just incredible to see the fact that, we know that we have seen so many farmers and producers and folks in the ag industry be incredibly committed to climate solutions. And it is just great to see that, you can do both things, right? Two things can be true at the same time, as my husband Joseph Hecky likes to say quite often. And that is that we can do right by the planet and continue doing business in a way that is going to be productive and beneficial. So, I think this is a great example of that. And I hope to see, more. I hope to see some farms in Wisconsin employing this approach, because it seems really neat.
I've never been able to ask Melissa a personal question like this, but she has opened up the door for it. Tell me that Joseph Hecky has used that saying during discussions between the two of you to say, well, two things can be true at once. I didn't do the dishes and I was very busy today.
No, so he definitely uses it in personal conversation with me and with the kids, but not to get out of his share of
the
household chores.
All right. The solar trailer, by the way, has a capacity of 60 kilowatt hours. The panels are equivalent to about 18 kilowatt hours. It obviously does not have a long extension cord, that's tied to the grid. So you're powering these batteries that can then be used, later on down the road. But again, it's just another way of saying that invention never stops. When I was there was a special legislative committee on biofuels, and there were a lot of people going, oh, ethanol is terrible for the planet, blah, blah, blah. But the research that's being done on biodiesel all across Wisconsin, and so that you need less of a carbon footprint, to grow the corn or the different crops that make biofuels. I was just amazed by it. People wanted this knee-jerk reaction to oppose ethanol. Look at the research and watch how it's evolving and unfolding. And that frankly, given where the Trump administration is, I think that's where we're going to get, the positive stories, is the ongoing role of innovation.
I agree. And that I'm going to use that to tie back to very briefly, and I'll make a point here, I promise, our conversation on the budget. And one of the reasons I think that the budget deal is the right one is because of the investment that is coming into our university system with this budget. When Republicans initially wanted to do nothing, and now we're going to get a big investment for the UW system. And, this story we see is in partnership, the project, with one of the University of Minnesota campuses.
Yep.
And the campus is carbon neutral now, thanks to their advancements in energy production. So we want to make sure that we can keep innovating on our campuses as well. That's very important to our progress.
Melissa Baldoff with our climate check and much more. Thanks, Melissa. Have a great 4th.
Thanks, you too.
All right, a local update is next for some of you, and the rest of you will come back here for some final news and notes and a visit with James Kelly. Remember, you can follow me at upnorthnewswi.com and, of course, right here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The U.S. Supreme Court decided in Buckley versus Valeo and Citizens United that unlimited money spent for campaigns equaled free speech and enabled the rise of super PACs, but it kept limits on certain types of spending by political parties. A case by Republicans heard in the High Court this fall tests those limits. While national political parties can make unlimited donations to a federal candidate, they are limited in what's called coordinated spending with a candidate. Such spending might include renting venues, sending mail, or most importantly, advertising. In 2025, those Federal Election Commission limits were up to $127,000 for a U.S. House candidate and up to $4 million for a U.S. Senate candidate, calculated by voting age population. The GOP has long chafed at those limits, set in 1971's Federal Election Campaign Act. Citizens United and subsequent cases drove corporations and special interest donors to contribute their billions to super PACs, with which candidates theoretically can't coordinate. The Roberts Court has a track record of money as free speech decisions. Whether this merely shifts billions from super PACs to the national parties or opens up yet another floodgate of special interest influence is yet to be seen. The case will be heard next term. We have more details on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the university system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Free Ticket Friday continues this week across Civic Media, including on this program, even though it will be a best of program on the 4th of July. It's a Friday. It will be a free ticket Friday, so be listening for that show. Some great segments that you might have missed from the past few weeks here, where we will also give the keyword to text in using the Civic Media app. That'll put you in the running for four great seats to a specific Brewers game. In fact, I can't tell you the keyword now. I am going to tell you, because we happen to know it, I'm going to tell you the game that it's for. So this coming Friday, we're going to be giving away four great seats at American Family Field to the game the following Friday against the Washington Nationals. So if you have any interest in that at all, you're going to want to tune in Friday morning throughout the show, 6 to 9 a.m., and you're going to have till the end of the show to text in the keyword that we're going to give you coming up on Friday as part of Free Ticket Friday with the Milwaukee Brewers. And again, doubleheader today, Brewers and Mets, 11:35 this morning for the pregame, making up the game that was rained out last night. Then again at 5:35 for Jacob Mazurowski pitching for the Brewers in Game 2 against the Mets. James Kelly is here now to tell us about some of the stories that he's following for Civic Media out of our newsroom in Chippewa Falls. James, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Pat. How are you doing?
Good. Let's start with a nurses' strike in the Duluth Superior area. When is that supposed to get going? What's that issue there?
Yeah, so last week, the Minnesota Nurses Association voted to authorize these strikes. This week announced that they were going to be undertaking them starting next week. They're required to give the hospitals 10 days of notice so that they can, you know, get just fill in staff, figure out a staffing plan for their patients. Because even though unionizing and going on strike is the nurse's right, you also don't want patients to not have the care they need. So they're complaining of short staffing and just kind of being ignored by management when they say, our opinion as the people who are on the ground is we need more people.
Yeah, and that's also, you know, there's issues with nurses in Madison. It was the center of a state Supreme Court opinion from last week. But again, calling attention to the challenges in healthcare, especially in staffing, and whether some of that understaffing is by design rather than by circumstance. You've also been following the bill that was signed allowing a Superior utility company to get federal funds for lead service line replacements. Representative Angela Stroud visited with us just after 7 a.m. to talk all about what came along with that was the agreement that was reached that would reduce the cost for homeowners having those lead lines replaced. So either head over to civicmedia.us or Spotify or Apple and listen back to the show and hear all about it. And James will continue to follow developments on that as well. But I want to get right into you, to the next story that you've been following, because it's right down the road here. I can see St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls, you know, across a couple of farm fields here. It's been shuttered up for over a year. And now the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative Group is going to get set to open the doors again.
Yeah, and a lot sooner than I think most people would think. They were saying that it could open as early as August, kind of in a partial capacity, where they'll be doing some clinical services and could really offer the same services that St. Joseph's was offering before the closures by the end of the year. This is still kind of a temporary measure. It's not a permanent reopening of the hospital until they can get their new hospital in Lake Halley opened.
Yeah, so again, you've got the facilities there. They're not meant to be permanent, which is why a different hospital building is going to go up. But again, ever since HSHS, an Illinois-based system, shut down that hospital and Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and some Purveyor clinics abruptly last year, there's been a lot of people working behind the scenes to increase healthcare options. And by the way, the $15 million that the legislature allocated to help address this crisis never was released by the legislature, and Senator Jeff Smith told us in this segment yesterday he'd certainly be looking to see if that was included in the state budget agreement that the Assembly and the Senate are going to take up today. So no doubt James is going to be following that and following the money and seeing if it's in there. And if not, I'm sure Senator Smith and others will propose an amendment to the budget bill, and we'll see if it finally is a done deal. And let's end on some happy news about a bald eagle at a Raptor Animal Hospital up in the Spooner area.
Yeah, I always like to end on a little bit of a positive note. You know, go into the next show with everyone feeling good.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so this eagle named Keir was rescued in critical condition from the Chippewa Flowage in September. Spent 10 months rehabbing at this Spooner Winged Freedom Raptor Hospital. And got dozens of skin grafts with fish skin, apparently. I didn't know that was a thing they could do, but that was an interesting part of the story as well, and had three surgeries. And then last week, they released the eagle back into the wild. Apparently, it had become a little bit of a community celebrity. So about 100 people came out to watch him get released into the wild, and he just kind of flew right into a nearby tree and started hanging out there. So maybe a little anticlimactic at the end.
Yeah, the problem, though, with the fish skin transplants is now all the other eagles have been trying to catch them and eat them. It's just, you don't bring a rim shot to the news very often, but sometimes fish skin transplants will allow you to do that. James Kelly's following all of that. Thank you. Better late than ever, you know. Following everything at the Civic Media Newsroom in Chippewa Falls. Hope you've got a good, relaxing 4th of July weekend planned for you there.
Oh, plenty of fireworks show all around the area.
You can't miss that. Just get somebody to take you out into the middle of Lake Wissota, and then you get fireworks in the round, 360 degrees of it. So you get it wherever you are around here. It's Wisconsin, for goodness sakes. Everybody's fireworks.
Yeah, I used to live in a beach town. I know what it's all about.
Oh, of course you do. Boy, this is a downer, but I guess I'm going to say it from a public safety standpoint. I saw a post last week from some group as a public service announcement saying, this weekend will be the last weekend that some people have 10 fingers. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's dark, but it's true.
Yeah. Well, we had back in Bava where I grew up, one person put their big box of fireworks in the sand incorrectly, and it tipped over towards the beach where all the people were. Oh, so that was just about the scariest thing that could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. James, thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Have a good one.
Let me close with this from Ardith on Facebook. This day is more proof that local elections matter. Fairer maps, excellent candidates, calling out Republicans by name who vote against bills that support the middle class. That'll all make Wisconsin shine again. I like the way Melissa Baldoff keeps sending this message loud and clear. Ardith, thank you very much for that note. Tomorrow, birthday cake. We'll explain. Coming up next, Matt and Air on Air. My thanks to today's guest and to all of you for being here. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. Have a great day. See you tomorrow morning here up north.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's big budget bill has left the Senate and is now in the House, where they will be talking about it for a while. Some Republicans expressing reluctance to support the bill, saying it would add trillions to the national debt. Others are worried about how Medicaid cuts will affect their constituents. The jury in Sean Combs' trial gets back to work today. They told the judge yesterday they had reached verdicts on 4 of the 5 counts, but are undecided on the racketeering and conspiracy charge. The man accused of murdering 4 University of Idaho students, Brian Kohberger, changing his plea today to guilty. He has accepted a deal from prosecutors. A famous athletic wear company is suing a famous big box discount retailer.
Lululemon accusing Costco of selling knockoff versions of a variety of the brand's most popular hoodies, jackets, and pants. Lululemon, the popular fashion brand known for its athletic apparel, filing the lawsuit in the Central District of California.
ABC's Rebecca Jarvis. This is ABC News.